Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, people. Welcome to a Wednesday in Gotham, and you are with She's Raising the Bar.
Yep. Way up high.
We are raising the bar. That's what we do here, and thank you so much for joining us again. And for people that think that the voices sound familiar, yes, this was the Bridal Body Shop Radio, and now we raised the bar for ourselves and created a new format, broader platform, but the same two broads. And, yeah, and the ladies behind the mic are, okay, we want to do it that way. Go ahead. Lori Towers is me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lee Ziegelman is she.
Thank you, thank you, thank you very much.
You know what I used to say in the Bridal Body Shop is who we are. Now I can't say that.
What?
I'll think of something else.
And
I can't say
as you raise the bar.
No, I don't like that
okay.
at all.
Okay, doesn't sound
good. I don't like
good.
That at all. But
no
you're welcome to She's Raising the Bar. And, you know, we had this new format change to, it was actually serendipitous with Women's History Month. So we kind of changed.
Well,
yeah. But our big change was 2 weeks ago. They had a big press release.
Exactly.
And
it ended up on the day of Women's History
Wasn't
Day.
It cool? Wasn't
right?
it cool the way that happened?
March 8th.
Yeah. And so it was like, really, it was meant to be. So we're happy that you can join us. And it is going to be a...
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. What did I say?
I'm just adding to your
banter. Oh, were you thanking me for joining us?
No, not you.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, a girl could dream. But it's going to be a broader platform, and it's we're going to have everybody on, but it's not going to be targeting one market, but it's always going to be central to the importance, the power, and being instrumental in moving women forward, because that's what we really need. We have a ways to go. We've come, we've come miles and miles since the days that we couldn't vote and couldn't get a driver's license, but we still have a little bit of pushing to do, and that's what we will do collectively. And if you saw our video on Instagram, you'll see that our push begins with doing a few push-ups before the show.
A warm-up.
That's our pushing. That's our pushing
women.
Pushing
to the warm-up.
Get it?
Yeah,
pushing,
I got it. Very good. Very
women.
Good. Let me give you a clap
Lord.
For that.
Thank
you. Wrong one.
I'll take, well, that's a golf clap. That's okay.
Two people.
Well, whatever. Family members supported that. I turn to my lovely co-host.
Yes.
And I ask her. How are you, Lee?
I'm great.
Yeah?
I'm good.
Anything
new
and improved, darling?
The only thing new is I'm sure everybody on the Eastern Seaboard got hit with some kind
of... Man of Shevitz, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but we got lucky, but
we,
it's more ice than anything, and that's worse for me.
We certainly did. And you know what's funny? We had mass transit. When mass transit takes... is at a standstill, you know they're expecting something really big to come. And as of yesterday morning at 4 o'clock, certain subway lines were down. Certain bus lines were as well. And, you know, you know everybody was getting annoyed that they couldn't get to work at the wall. But, you know, if you get stranded in something because there is a blizzard, and what happened, when was it, was it 4 years ago? People on the Rockaway line got stuck for 4 hours. You remember that?
No.
They got stuck on the elevator part of
really?
It was the A line, yeah, or the B, whatever it was. But it was actually people outside. It wasn't like even in the tunnel.
Wow.
Like the subway had heat, but you got stuck there for 4 hours, and people.
What could you do?
That's what you try to avoid. What could you do? I could just see you if you were stuck. Oh, boy, what could you do? You'd have that
I wouldn't be in that situation,
yeah,
I have to tell you.
That's
why public transportation and myself don't get along.
Well, you don't have the subway system. But
I don't need it. I have my car.
It is when you have to get around, honestly,
no, of course.
It is just the easiest way of
yes,
doing so.
Yes.
And,
well,
you know,
I live on the Great Isle of Staten.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
Well, if you don't have a car, basically, it's very hard to get around.
Well, you know, when I lived upstate, when
it's
I was
another
in Staten,
area.
Well, this was harder because there. I mean, at least in Staten Island, there is some. There's a
sort
there's,
of
there's,
yeah.
There's,
Staten
there's,
Island Transit.
Yeah, but there's a railway system.
Right.
When I lived, it was just Metro North to get you into, you know,
the
downstate.
City.
But there was something called, oh, my God, now I can't even remember. It began with a T. It was like a trolley that ran. It was only a dollar. But it stopped
it
running.
It ran around the
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah. I forgot what it was. I'll think of it later. But it was really cute. But it was like one bus line that ran on a
so
Sunday.
So you needed a car.
Oh, you definitely needed a car.
Yeah.
You needed a car or two.
Yeah.
You know, because nothing was close.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, that's. You start thanking the heavens above for a subway.
Yeah.
Because.
Or a car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, yeah, but the thing is, if your car is down, you have something
right,
that
right,
you,
right,
could,
right,
you
right.
could alternate to.
Exactly.
But we have an interesting show today.
I know.
You want to tell people what the show is about?
No, you can. I'm leaving it up to you.
Okay. I always want to share in case people
I'm
say,
here to share
how
with
come
you.
You don't let Elite speak? Well,
no,
because
she does a very good job at
she's,
it.
She's fine. Well, today we have, okay, first guest. We have two guests today.
I know.
First guest.
Everybody's dying to come on our show, huh?
They love our show.
Yeah.
It's really a cool happening
great.
Place to be. It's
I'm
it's,
loving that.
It's a happening scene, man. But first guest is no
stranger to...
our show and supporting women and women's health, and it's Lucky Luigi Paradise, a formulator of Tops, and he's going to be coming on talking about women's issues, heart issues. I mean, everything. And Topperson is so pro women, and it, just as far as fibromyalgia,
it seems like the
outreach,
whole team is women.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I think that I would dare to say that Luigi is. I think the only male there.
It's got to be a one or two, I bet
know.
You.
We
I remember,
were up there
yeah,
once
I remember
we,
meeting one male.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
We were introduced around.
It was a while ago. It was about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But he will be on. And after Luigi leaves us, we will be going live to Ireland.
Isn't that wild?
Where Jake McManus will be on
yeah.
with us. And he has, this is really cool, It's cool. Most people are familiar with the videos, the treadmill videos that have become, you know, really, really, I guess even 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they started really, really becoming popular. He's got Trek Ireland, and this is a really cool series where I think it's more educational, you know, than anything else because
definitely.
it's like a supervised
definitely.
Tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just those videos that you see where it's simulated running along landscape. I mean,
and they actually
nice.
Teach you,
yeah.
you know, how, you know, the lay of the land.
It's really nice because you actually have like a tour guide.
Right.
So I think that not only is this
and you're walking with a tour guide.
Purposeful for treadmill
yeah.
use or even bike use. I think meditating. What do you think?
It's very, very peaceful,
so.
I have to say that.
Yeah, the
very
one that
peaceful.
We saw, I mean, I'll be
very
honest,
zen.
We haven't seen all of them, but the one that we saw, I kind of think that it would be perfect, a perfect backdrop to someone
oh,
who's
yeah,
got,
definitely.
You know, who wants to meditate for 40 minutes or so. I really think so. I'm going to even say that, because this is very unlike what we have seen. When
yeah.
you and I were doing our exploratory work
yeah.
on all of this, and, yeah, there was one, and a lot of them seemed to come out of Europe. There was one, what was that little town, a little town in London, but it was like, it looked like, it literally looked like you were on a bike speeding. It was like,
yeah.
It was really.
I think it was like open, like from like a moonroof of a car, and it was shot
it
from
was
the top
really
of it,
something.
And you're going through all
yeah.
these hills, but
yeah.
you're going really, really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Very quickly.
Yeah. It was like a Tour de France. It
yeah.
really was.
And what
really
was the song they had to it?
Oh, my God.
One of those, I think it was Beethoven or something?
Ooh,
or
Bach. I believe it was Bach. I'm trying to think of it now. But it was absolutely, I'm saying, that one wouldn't be conducive to meditation.
No.
But I think that his series, Will and Jake, will be on with us in the second half of our show, right after Lucky Luigi leaves us. And, you know, the funny thing is, Lou and I were going back and forth yesterday. Downstate, they predicted, well, Monday night they were predicting like
18 to
2
20,
feet.
Yeah, 18
2
to
feet.
20
and every time you turned on the TV, it was more.
Wrong.
It was 30. Then it might
Wrong.
Even be 30. And then boom. It just made that little
yeah.
shift.
And I love the way they turned it around. Well, you know, we told you about that rain snow line.
But didn't you?
But you know what? I knew it because I saw it.
When
but they want to make it worse.
But you want to know something? The minute the sleet, what they predicted, the sleet was going to come in at 4 o'clock, and that was going to.
Well, they originally said it was basically down the shore
right.
that was getting the sleet and the rain
right.
and all that stuff. But and it's so funny because Steve's friend had this whole thing in Atlantic City yesterday.
Oh wow.
There was no snow at all. It was all rain the whole time.
Oh, wow.
And
really?
They, yeah, the whole time. Everybody was there, like business as go.
Wow.
Because it had like a little convention going.
Wow.
And everybody was there.
Isn't that
Thank
awesome.
God.
Did you see the footage of the polar bears out in Coney Island? I've got to tell you, they don't care.
Oh,
and
you mean the people that
the
go
people,
into the water?
They went.
Did you know yesterday on Staten Island, two ponies.
Ponies. Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't know how they get out. Where did they come from?
They were at first. They thought it was, but it was owned by a family. At first, they were saying that it might have been a stable. Like it was owned by a family. Two beautiful little ponies.
Yeah, they were roaming the streets.
And the cops, you know,
yeah,
God bless, went
yeah.
out and they did the right thing and they corralled them and then they tied them to a pole. But they were with them the entire
yeah, yeah,
time.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
and they rescued them.
They were returned home. And, yeah, they must have been, you know, we think, but they probably were so scared. I mean,
yeah,
you,
and plus it's cold and snowy
it's
and icy.
It's cold. And
they're not used to that.
All that space that they don't, that's unfamiliar to them.
Yep.
And cars going by, it had to be really scary for them. So we're glad they're back home. But in getting back to my point with Lou, he was even saying that it was just not stopping upstate. I mean,
it was
just
supposed to go on all day.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, the more north it was, the more it was going to continue throughout the day because
yeah.
that's how the whole tail of the storm was up there.
And you know what?
Especially the forward part of the storm.
It's funny, the name that kept coming up yesterday
Stella.
On the news. No, not Stella. Binghamton, New York is where we're going to be
speaking. Oh, right.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
For our conference. And that really got me.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about some little,
better be melted by June.
Oh, it's a little south of Albany, but it's really way up there. It's way
yeah.
up there. So yeah, I was thinking that. Wow.
Road trip.
Yeah. Well, that would have been a stay home trip yesterday
yeah.
if we had to go up there yesterday.
Oh, forget
there's
it.
No way. No
we
way.
We would have never made it up
well,
there.
No way. Metro North was even going up there.
No.
Because that was suspended after a while. So it was fun. We got a snow day without really needing it.
Yeah.
Which was kind of fun. And we had our snow shoveling tips, as Elite and I always do. When you're out there shoveling, wear those angels on your shoulder. We are just there telling you, watch the back, bend the knees,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. So
there was a guy on Staten Island that died of a heart attack after shoveling.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That was not just snow. It was ice.
Yeah, it was very heavy.
That
very,
was heavy.
You had to chop it together.
Oh, and you know
it
what?
It was not fun.
It's not something that you should just say, well, I'm just going to go out and shovel snow.
Yeah. I did half the shoveling because we usually do a pathway from
yeah.
the side.
Huh?
I didn't bother. I couldn't get to it.
Yeah.
It was bad. I had to do half my patio, and I couldn't do the path.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
had to walk all the way around.
Yeah. It's
too bad.
It's,
it would have took me forever to chop it up and then shovel.
But, you
chop
know, the
it up
thing
and
is,
then shovel.
You're in shape, but the average person who just decides
I don't have no patience. That's my problem.
To just,
yeah.
okay, I'm going to go out and do it.
Right. That's very dangerous.
If you're
very
overweight
dangerous.
Or you have any compromised, you know, circulatory issues, just don't wait for a kid. God willing, there are still kids that have incentive to make a buck, and they'll ring your bell.
Exactly.
But
and nobody came yesterday, of course, because I would have paid them.
Of course.
I would have paid them.
Well, I always go to the story. Larry and I used to make quite a few bucks.
Me too.
In 1972.
And now I could never do that.
Well, when you were a kid, you walking around
you'd
with
do anything
wet boots,
for money,
and you don't care. You don't even feel it.
Yeah.
But I think our guest is on. Yes.
Yes, we have Luigi.
Welcome,
on.
Luigi Vinacqua.
Hey, Vinacqua, you know, the one thing, I was just listening to you beautiful people. I don't know how many people can realize that even on a radio, even a blog talk radio show, the absolute beauty of the two of you darlings.
I want to know
just
who
pays like,
you over
just
there.
Like,
who
man,
pays
the
you?
Airwaves are just like golden. They're like the aura of the world. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
just beautiful, beautiful sounds of that very genuine voices. It just warms me up. My goodness. And we had 30 inches of snow up here.
Oh,
wow.
That was my next question. You
wow.
got
Yep, you know, and one thing for sure, and you're both talking about people don't, you know, not having patience is what normally happens with most people going out thinking, well, it's snow, so what's the big deal, you know? So I'm just going to shovel it like I'm in a race or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird how much it weighs, especially with what you were both saying about
icy,
heavier snow.
Yeah.
And, you know, less snowfall, but really compacting stuff that's very, very heavy. And and I love the reference about angels on their shoulders, because you two are all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, thank you, Lou.
Oh.
And if I'd known you had that kind of problem, I would have camped out overnight outside your house for some baked ziti or some eggplant parmesan. I work for food, you know. But it is funny because
did you have a shovel or do you have a blower?
I have both actually, but my driveway is like 500 feet from the road to the house. You know, we're in upstate area, New York, not upstate, but like in Hudson Valley. And so what happens is, our guy's a retired heavy equipment guy. So, and he's a very dear friend of ours. So he had to bring, he couldn't do it just with the truck and move the snow around. He had to bring a front loader in to get the snow and pile it somewhere else so that he had room to push the snow around or whatever.
Yeah,
so everybody yells, of course, you're not supposed to shovel snow anymore. And we have some young guys up here who are adorable young people, amazing people that they come up. And I have a snowblower also, because there's always some kind of cleanup. Getting the cars out was the one thing for me. But we used to do this on our radio all the time, you know, telling people, pace yourself. You know, be hydrated, you know, dress in layers. Unless you have an emergency, don't be in a race to shovel the snow. And because years and years ago, you'd never had to wait in our neighborhoods for anybody to shovel that was an older person or whatever, because all of us would be out happy as a lark to make a few bucks.
Of course.
And we made a deal with some of the older women who we knew who loved us like they were our grandmothers. You know, they would get us lasagna. They would make us eggplant parmesan.
Sure.
You know, and so we were, and Lori, like you said, you didn't even feel it. You know, we're all in great shape at the time, and still, you know, and that's why being in really good shape, doing it with your legs, all that kind of stuff is really essential. And because this one is really, we were all like saying, I'm sure everybody was saying between December and the end of February, it's like, whoa. You know, no more snow. Everything is cool. And I told Aurora, I said, you know, don't take all those covers off the outside furniture and stuff, because March
knew.
Always got that surprise.
Yeah.
You know,
I knew there was
going
to be a storm coming. I knew it.
Yeah,
we were too lucky.
Well, we've gotten snow
in April. We've gotten snow on Easter Sunday.
Sunday, you know,
was in April.
This could have been that. Hopefully this is the big snow before in the spring. Is it usually a biggie?
Yeah, and you know, there's another system of some sort coming in on
Sunday
up here again.
That's
what
I heard.
Yeah.
Probably a small
But you know what happens? Because I know I'm Lucky Luigi, it has no effect on me whatsoever.
He's just walking
so lucky
with his sunshine going right on top of him. No problem.
And why am I lucky? Because I'm on the phone with the both of you beautiful people. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I tell you, there's nothing like Lou to make. If you're in a bad mood, or you're feeling that's it. 10 minutes on the phone with him, and that's all you need.
That's it.
Well, thank
so
you.
Welcome to our new format, but it's really like the same format, but it's just a little bit broader. And that's why we wanted you on this month too, because it's Women's History Month, and your product is so supportive of women.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, for me, and maybe it's an extension of my absolute give back from my grandmother and the ladies in the neighborhood. They were from Bartolomeo, which is like right around where Italy kind of cruises into going into France and that area there. And they all came over with their natural medicines. And, of course, well before I was born, by the time I got to realize what was going on, I just adored all of them. They were just darlings, and they knew so much. And that's how it got me hooked on natural medicine. And so I've always been devoted to women's issues and health issues, especially, as you know, for 25, almost 30 years now, well before, just as the company was really getting started, I had already started to tackle with groups of women, fibromyalgia, and really figuring out what exactly it was, as opposed to, you know, it's all in your head, kind of typical of what happens when women walk into a doctor's office who happens to be male. You know, and think about doctors trained in pathology, not organ function. They're trained into the horizontal patient, not the vertical one. So if you walk into the office, it may be all in your head, no matter who it is. And 4 hours in nutrition and 4 months in pharmaceuticals. So really the vanguard advocacy, too, of women's issues. You know, it's not that I, you know, have I'm hot on this because I have 3 daughters and 6 granddaughters, because we have 2 beautiful boys and 3 grandsons.
Around with
I didn't realize the daughters. Wow.
Yeah, and we have one what we call in the piculator, according to the Staten Island Brooklyn version of my in New Dock Lane, folks. No, you know something? We believe this one's going to be a boy.
Wow.
The same family
boy?
On the East Coast. Be the only boy with 3 sisters.
Wow. He's going to be some
lucky. Oh, my gosh.
Then, forget about no more Lucky Luigi. It's going to be a new Lucky Luigi.
You better pass the baton, buddy.
Exactly. You know, and that's how everybody does it, right? That's how we all do it in our families. We pass the baton, we do our thing.
Yep.
And I just love the fact of 2 things that happen of our connection. I think we were all connected long before we were born, I swear, because we have such a fabulous chemistry. And, of course, we know how devoted both of you are to your ends of the spectrum of what you do for health and wellness and vitality. And my hat, if I wore a hat, you know, because in the wintertime, I guess I'm supposed to, because I get yelled at like I'm a kid or something. Where's your hat? I remember those days back. Do you remember that word, galoshes? Where the hell is your galoshes?
Oh, yeah.
Like, God, help us. That, you know, knowing the both of you are so sterling in what you do every single day, and, you know, the efforts on the radio, the daily activity with clients, and really giving people your, you know, being a product of the product too. I'm just in awe of that, and I'm delighted that we can have the discussion, especially during Women's History Month, about women's issues and health issues and how we do play a part, and we're very delighted to play a part in this whole realm of, it's a total, you know, I'm going to say it out loud. Here is 2017, and women's issues on all levels still grossly underserved. I think it's a total disgrace, you know, and the only thing we could do, instead of, you know, throwing our hands up, I love some of the fabulous protests that are going on today, really organized intelligence stuff, executable goals,
exactly.
But we really need to do a lot more. And the one thing I think it starts with is this crazy argument over Obamacare or whatever the other guy's name is. I can't remember. He tweets a lot. I don't know who he is, but but somebody told me. I'm too young to know about this
Brand
guy. The only tweet I remember is Rock and Robin, man. That was one of my favorite songs.
We'll call him Brand X. So we know who we're talking
exactly
about.
And you can't talk about health care reform because we don't have a health care system.
I mean, it's
a sick care system
that's
on life support, and that's why it's never sustainable, no matter who the heck puts the numbers together. And that's the difference between understanding how we're going to navigate to sustainable health care models, which is what you folks contribute to as well as I do. And those are all kind of crucial issues for people to know. I know when we say that out loud, people say, what? And then we say, well, let's walk through what you actually get. Let's look at the model that you can have. And why are you fighting for a new form of the same thing you had before? And I'm not saying one way or the other whether some of the fact that we got 20 more million people on health insurance. But the issue for me is always, how can anybody be comfortable with the fact that, you know, we're only 5% of the population? We take 50% of the worldwide distribution of all the scripts written on the planet, 80% of all the opiates written on the planet. That's not health care. That's sick care on steroids going down over the cliff. And so, and I know it may sound like, oh, my God, then what do? There's a whole bunch of really cool, simple things we used to all know, for God's sakes, back in the day. Health and healing has been in human consciousness for thousands of years, you know, and you want to – and who doesn't deserve – to have all their options on the table when they're going to elect a surgical procedure or a script, for that matter, a prescription medicine? You should know all your options before you go down any one of those roads, even if you need to, so that you know you're making a choice that actually is the best one and not the ones we seem to have made where we've got elders and children and we've got obesity going on and diabetes and everything's still ramped up so much that it's nuts. when we need to take some physical opportunity. And you can't know what you don't know to finally get to a point where you make those choices for yourself about your diet and exercise and all the things we all know are part of that whole situation. And I think that from a point of it being Women's History Month, and since the fact that women gave birth to the whole world, because men don't have the courage to hang around nine minutes with a bellyache, imagine.
That's right.
You know, so God bless all of the amazing people and all of us who know and understand. If we don't honor, there's only one race on the planet, the human race, right? And and how in the world we could disenfranchise people from different parts of the world or whatever, and worse, gender. I mean, geez,
Amen.
You know, we got 51% of the world is are women, and we disenfranchise.
Yeah.
The good news, we ain't having no more of that.
That's
See, because
exactly
we
right.
go
exactly.
kick somebody butt.
But that's
I'm sorry.
True.
What happened?
But, you know, but honestly.
But it's totally true.
The one thing that I've said that, you know, and again, we don't try to go too political on the show, but why the hell not? I mean, it's important. The one thing that's wonderful about this administration is the worst in them is bringing out the best in us. And what's happening is wherever there's an issue, there are people assembling, people protesting. And again, I'm all for civil protest, civil disobedience. You don't have to get violent. You don't have to do anything that's going to make the other side say, see, that they're a bunch of hotheads. But
exactly.
This is what we've come to the point of now we're uniting and we're pushing back. And that hasn't happened in my lifetime, and I always envied being on the fringe of hearing all that happening in the 60s. I was too young to be part of it, but you always
mm-hmm.
know what's happening around my head. But I think this is going to be a great time for us to actually assemble, execute, and make the changes we need to make. It might take a while, but I think it's a good thing that we're doing.
I think we're setting it up really good for
I
the next generation.
We have to. We
yeah.
have to.
You know, and it's a beautiful thing, really, and you're right. I mean, if it's like we take a look and see the kind of unfortunate illusion and circus it really is, I mean, you've got 535 people, you know, 435 congressmen, 100 senators making all these decisions, and we know for sure in our local communities there's some really good people that are hunkering down, but the system has been so overloaded with this, with driving things home for only profitability and not
right.
for people and not for passion and not for enthusiasm and certainly not looking at future generations or even the generations that we have currently in our midst. And I like that idea. I love that phrase that, in the situation that we have, we see that we have average people who just happened to click with the world because they were on television once or twice or more, as opposed to and that's why, unfortunately, with the way the system is and the way it's allowed to have become, we don't attract, you know, people who can really make a difference, because who the heck want to go through that mudslinging crazy stuff?
Yeah.
And it's sad because, you know, we take a look at the what we've represented to the world in general, and we know that we have our faults, and we certainly know that we're flawed. I mean, I can only speak for myself with the three of us on this on the radio today, that I'm flawed and imperfect, even though I know both of you are not, you darlings.
Oh, well.
But the one thing is that purest kind of sense of fighting for what's right is something that's an inherent part of who you are as a birthright. And when we don't, and that's standing up for anything, and just somebody being rude where they shouldn't, somebody doing something where they're being disrespectful to an elder, or
right.
or taking some other greedy nonsense out on a child. You know,
yeah.
there's injustice that can, we can recognize and do something about in our own community and under our own nose. We don't have to worry about going it regionally or nationally. But it's cool, like you said, Lori, that this organizational group to fight for what's right, fights people who are voiceless, who can't stand up for themselves,
exactly.
who need to know. You know, if you've got half the people on the, you know, in the country on drugs that give you brain fog every single day, what the heck kind of thinking can you possibly do for yourself? And we're talking about some of the most amazing, beautiful, hardworking people on the planet Earth here. And so all of us doing our part can understand from a holistic point of view, and holistic doesn't necessarily have to mean only natural. What it should mean is this is a mindset of understanding, going back to a real spiritual sense of center, where we have where we find that we can help and inspire and encourage people to find peace and true happiness as opposed to how the whole societal thing is set up, that you have to keep your nose to the grindstone, you got to get a college education, this way you spend your money to do that, and then you can be somebody. Well, I'm not saying that that isn't a worthwhile endeavor for certain people that need credentials in a different way, but as we all know, talking on this phone, the people who have made the most significant contribution to humankind, didn't go and or didn't finish college. And so it isn't the only thing in the world to do and the only way to do it. And I think the perception that we only can go down one road and that's it has left us in the situation where now, as communities, after all, it's all about people and relationships and caring for each other and doing it as a community. And that's why we love doing what we do as far as all of our work, both collectively and independently. Because we need to stand up for what's right. To remind folks, if we ever hope to have a future America, this is still an experiment. I don't know how many people realize that. We're the youngest country on the planet. We've done pretty well considering everything, and we're in an amazing situation. But when power goes to people's heads, it will definitely put a destructive time frame and expiration date on us, which we definitely don't want to look forward to. And that's why we got to do something now. We can't wait any longer for it to be. And it could be cool. It drive the point home. Teach people how to teach each other, just like we do. And then the rest of the things will happen and evolve over time. Because we owe that to everybody we know, everybody who's ever come before us. I don't care where they came from and what they did, and everybody's going to come after us. We owe that to each one of those groups of people, including to ourselves, for that matter. So.
And something, it was so funny because I remember when it was a Friday that when there was the inauguration, and I was calling it Black Friday, and I remember certain points I had to say, well, I'm not going to even watch this anymore, and I was like, just put you in a very bad frame of mind leaving the house. Mm-hmm. The next day, I was playing in the Women's March in New York. And I tell you, Lou, that changed the way I felt the day before, because here you had close to a million women. The point that you couldn't even walk. I mean, not just women. They're progressive men and their brothers walking next to them. And that's the way it is. Everybody was together.
Absolutely.
And that's what made the difference, because all these wonderful movements that are going on all over. Because, I mean, everybody is targeted, but women are really going to feel the backlash of a lot of the cuts that are happening in health care and, of course, reproductive rights. And that's why we always say that there's no other product that we know of that serves women better and certainly supports every cause breast cancer than Topperson.
And I so appreciate that, because a lot of all of my research has always been about physiological, the power of the body's miracle of healing. Products are only as good as they are designed to respect how the body does that and how we can support it. And all of the things that we've done over the last 23 years, now going into year number 24, my whole design was always about, we want to educate, which is very vital. Solutions from a research point of view as a research company to find these defined ways of looking at real choice, so that when we help so many people off of, it's not just Advil, Motrin, Aleve, and Tylenol. We're talking about, and we're working with changing the complexion of doctor-patient relationships, working with doctors and pharmacists to do this, getting off of Oxy, Vicodin, Percocet, Lorazepam, Androl, the whole nine yards in the opiate side, as well as looking at what affects women's health in diabetes, or caring for somebody with diabetes or fibromyalgia or diabetic neuropathy or chemo-induced neuropathy. A lot of the stuff we do in cancer care especially has made it necessary for me to formulate every step of the way and refine everything to those points, so that what we can give somebody in an opportunity to see natural medicine. And it's not because our products are natural and homeopathic, although they're both of those things. These medicines are almost identical in their size to the human body's natural chemistry, the balancing needed in order for the body to bring about, as you know, what that word homeostasis, balance. Yeah. So the body is an optimal way to heal the damage in the soft tissue, nerve tissue, joint tissue, muscle tissue that's actually causing the pain. That's the only way you ever get to something that's going to get people off their meds. once we start helping people get to the point where now they're taking less toxic medication, and a lot of people don't realize that's why you have side effects, because most medication, unfortunately, are not you shouldn't even call it medicine. If you look at medical encyclopedic, medicine is something that has curative power. It restores your health and your robust, healthy way of living. And well, we know what that means. That's natural stuff. And it could be natural. It could be, food and omegas and B-complex vitamins if you're not getting them all in your diet. It's hydration. It's all those things. So when Topperson, as a topical product, is a real healing technology. We're the only patented healing and pain relief technology in the United States. And we're the only company that has patents for the topical treatment of neuropathy, both chemo-induced, diabetic, and fibromyalgia. So this, and I so appreciate the kind words, but it is real, real diligent, hard work for me over more decades than just the company to have come up with realizing that that's the kind of contribution we need to make, just to make a point that natural does have a place, pardon me, that holistic and holistic thinking is really more the case, and conservative understanding about what we should try first before we go out and do something that's going to cause us to think, oh, no, I got it, the hot, smelly, greasy stuff, because that's not what Topperson is. It's none of those things, although it's topical. Those don't work, so I'm going to take Advil, Motrin, and Tylenol, and when that doesn't work for me, I'm going to kick it up to the big guns and go to opiates, when in all reality, the most powerful healing process, the most powerful pain reliever on the planet Earth is the body's ability to heal itself.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, so women's issues have been very close to my heart for lots of reasons. It's the most acid test. When women's lives are disrupted, the entire family is disrupted. Many, many things socially are disrupted, whether it be in school or at work. Many different issues are very disrupted when we don't have this the respect that we should all have in spending the same kind of money, maybe lesser money, on things that are going to give people their health back. The only way we're going to do that is that people far less dependent on all these meds that are out there in the world. You know, it's a shame. If pharmaceuticals do have their place, it's just not the way they're subscribed to or prescribed and or available to our population. These, you know, symptom control has caused us to have more people dying. This opiate epidemic, for God's sakes, has been worse than anything that could be imagined, and has breathed the worst epidemic of heroin, for God's sakes, in the world that we know here in the United States, let alone what's going on out there in the world. So Topperson as a tool, as a natural format and platform, says that, wait a minute, if pain is is part of healing, which a lot of people don't understand, but that is totally true, inflammation, pain, and healing kind of go together, and healing is the ultimate form of relieving pain, and the body can do that every single moment of every single day, then why aren't we supporting the body's ability to do that? So as opposed to Topperson sound like some sort of a miracle, oh my God, you're going to get off your meds, you're going to be healthier life, it's a catalyst to help your body, the miracle, get through the process of being at its optimum healing best, so now your body's healing and taking a course of action of what's causing the pain. That's why we have the confidence that we can help people and their doctors and pharmacists help them get off their medication, which is huge for so many people who are now clear-eyed and bushy-tailed and their lights came back on, according to most of the people we heard early on back 23, 24 years ago. And we're humble that we can make that contribution.
And you know what's funny? It's not a funny story, but Leet and I were talking before the show, and I was telling her about, we're comparing notes, shoveling snow yesterday. And one of my neighbors that I have known probably, my God, easily 30 years, I'm going to say is probably maybe a year younger than me, if that. Okay, she definitely has some sort of dependency problem. What the drug of choice is, I don't know. But her body now has gone into beyond disrepair, and there's some sort of kyphosis going on. And I know she's also on pain medication, but it's the combination of everything in her system that is just, you know, you're talking about a physical meltdown. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, this woman could not, I had to stop shoveling snow because this woman could not walk with a shopping cart. to get to her house, which was like maybe 20 feet at before she decided she's going to throw her hands up and stop doing this.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, how could you allow your body? Now, obviously, this is not a choice. It's not an elective choice. Her body has gotten to this point. But now with the addition of, and I'm sure she's hooked on some sort of painkiller, this, in addition to everything else that she's taking, has gotten her body to a point where she might have six teeth in her mouth at this point. I would say a good 60 pounds overweight easily. And just beyond that, she's shy four inches of her height because she's hunched over. And this is the byproduct of all of the chemical sabotage that we do to our systems. This is it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it starts, the chemicals start to work adversely. You know, it's like the body's, when we look at pharmaceuticals in general and we look at that whole approach, people want relief of whatever they're going through instantaneously, as opposed to saying, you know, you didn't get there overnight, so let's see what we could do to work back and figure out what's actually causing, you know, how many people are eating an inflammatory diet. And oftentimes when you're depressed or you're feeling kind of blue, you're going to lean to whatever cessatious thing you want to have, which is normally more sweets or more instant gratification, which adds compounded problems to your whole entire metabolic function. If people would take and just eliminate, you know, white refined sugar and white refined flour out of their diet just for a month, just get rid of it for a month just to see how they would feel. It's amazing how many people we've had going through that exercise, just that one solitary small thing. And then back off, then they're encouraged to eliminate other things. But I think the problem that happens is you take some of the pharmaceuticals, you can't think straight. You know, you think you're getting symptom relief. You're getting other side effects. You think of from some other medical condition, so you want another drug that's going to do something for those. You wind up in a situation, polypharmacy, which is you get a drug, you get a prescription medication, it has side effects. The next thing the doctor does, instead of changing that out or helping you to get to another level, I'm not calling doctors out on this, but it is a sad part of the reality, give you another medication, not because you have a medical condition, to offset the side effects of the first medication, and then you wind up with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, we've had people when we first started that were on 17, 18 medications, and we're able to help them and their doctor and their pharmacist get them down to half of one over a period of time, not because we're geniuses, because we just said fundamentally, look, health and healing. You know, people don't have arthritis because they have a Celebrex deficiency, you know? They don't have high blood pressure because they got a Lipitor deficiency. These things are not medicine. Medicines are were meant to be taken for a very short-term purpose, and then you are to regain your lifestyle so that you can make the corrections in your lifestyle, and that part never gets done. Imagine this absolutely young woman who's going through this kind of thing because that's where it starts, and that's sad. That's very sad.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so funny because, as you know, I'm helping her. And, again, lifting a shopping cart over the snow was not an undertaking for me. So I did it. And she's younger than me. And you think to yourself, if this is not the polar opposite of the way your body should react, I mean, if there was a split screen of me doing it and her standing in the snow, not being able to do that, I mean, that is the poster right there. And it's just a matter of, with somebody like that, where would you even start? I mean, literally, it's just her body is decompensating by the day. So where do you start with that?
You know, most of the time, I think the one thing that happens is when people are so tied up in what is happening in their own life, and you got to know this woman can't be anything. She can't be peaceful, having any peace or happiness. She's got to be pretty despondent, and because she's got to know. Look, I'm a young woman, and look what's happened to me.
Exactly.
I think that a lot of just some subtle changes, like we were saying before, it's kind of how we help people to understand. Look, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you want to take a little bit of a course of action to help yourself. I'm going to give you some stuff to do, just simple things, and half the time it's eliminating just one or two things that we know for sure are major contributors to that issue. Got to be they're using artificial sweeteners, they're probably drinking all sorts of diet Cokes or whatever the heck. They are overloaded on sugar and sweets and whatever. And honestly, the majority of people, unless they get to the point where they're so sick and tired of being sick and tired, they won't make any changes. And you won't be able to suggest anything to them either. But a lot of times when we kind of approach it, we always do that. We're saying, look, if you're willing to give up something just for a few weeks, you don't have to eliminate out of your life forever, but just do it for a few weeks just to see if it'll make any difference in your life. Would you be willing to do it? Most people will say yes, you know, because they're not going to make a dramatic change. It's like asking somebody who's a meat and potatoes kind of person to eat a microbiotic diet or whatever. They're just not going to make that transition.
Yeah, of course not.
But that's how I start. That's usually and oftentimes saying, look, you're a young, vibrant woman. I can see how you're struggling, and I've got a couple of things that I do with my clients. You know, I'd be very happy to just say, hey, by the way, as a friend, to give you some information, and here's what it is. And it's simple. Just eliminate certain things and put a log down, make a journal with it and see how you feel. Note how you're feeling. You know, at the end of the day, some of that can help people to feel better enough that they're willing then to take a look and see those meds they're taking and start realizing that they can actually help themselves. If they start eliminating stuff as opposed to buying new stuff, they are more willing to do that and see the difference and not be afraid by it, because they have control. They can go back anytime they want. But if they really, really want to make the getting sick and tired of being sick and tired, being a young woman and still have a whole lot of life ahead of her in this case, that generally is how I start.
And you know, you look at her and you just say, well, you know, it's almost impossible. And, you know, I'm never a negative person. But
sure.
You look at somebody like this and you just say,
she's so
it's
funny.
Impossible that she's going to pass 60. It's almost impossible. That I mean, just
she's given up already.
Yeah,
she's
and it's you know, and it's funny because John has known her for years, and
I
at
bet.
One point she was a very attractive woman, and I'm not even saying this in a disparaging way. She looks like Edward G. Robinson now, and it's
wow.
Like it's that bad. That you don't even recognize the features. That's how much has gone wrong in her body.
Yeah. Yeah, but and then you're talking about organ function and and all kinds of depletion in her metabolic whole entire system, you know. And if she doesn't take a course of action soon, you're absolutely right. She won't make it past very much longer, really. I mean, this kind of hardship where you're talking about this kind of weather, where you're putting out more energy because her body's completely unprepared to put any energy out, can be fatal to her. And just like you were saying, Elite. People have they give up, you know. They just resolve themselves. This is my life. This is what I do, and that's the end of it. And how sad is that? When you know, and this is the danger when people feel alone. This is one of the things I speak to, and I know you do as well. For you make sure that people know they're not alone. When people think they're alone, they dwell in things. They're gonna dwell what negatively, and their hope is then in the toilet, really. And when that's happening, you're pretty much toast. And so unless somebody intervenes in a way that they would be willing to hear it, half the time they probably look at themselves in the mirror and curse at themselves for allowing the thing to happen. But if you bring it up and, you know, there are people who will just give you the flashback, no, don't tell me that, because, you know, they know they don't want anybody else to tell them. Other people, sometimes just that little kind gesture, and you know, and most of the time you get a pushback if they've just resolved themselves to it. But what else can you do? That's all you really can do. You can give people a sense. Look, you may have missed something. I know, you know, and oftentimes the thing that's always most powerful, and you know, I started my whole thing being in pain and having to resolve it, you know, inventing Topperson. People that were in pain listened to me because I said to them, look, I had this. I was exactly where you were, where you are right now. I was sick of that. I wasn't going to have it. I'm not telling you to go out and invent a product to make yourself, but I made some changes in addition to what I did from a point of that point of formulating the products. It made the most incredible difference in my life. Hadn't I been there to see it myself and feel it myself, I would have never known.
Yeah.
You know, but that's about it. That's all you can do, and sometimes it is too late. You know, it's sad because this is another life force who went off a road, and part of it is because she decided to it. Part of it is because she wound up there, and it's tough. It's a tough thing.
Yeah, And that's, she's one of so many that we don't see. You know, this is, she's the walking byproduct of everything that she's done wrong in her life.
Yeah.
Up until this point. And there's so many. There's so many that, I mean, this is like, this, I mean, we see it coming, but there's so many people that don't even wear it visibly and are going through the same thing for whatever
no.
reason. You know,
that is so true. You know, there are people who hide it better than other people. They outwardly, they look fine, at least, you know, from a little bit of a distance. And but inside they're just, and you know, nobody wants to tell you their problems. Some people, God forbid, you ask them, hey, how are you? Oh, maranda me, I'll tell you,
exactly,
let me tell
right.
you. I'll tell you how, you
yeah.
really want to know.
I don't know anybody that doesn't do that. It's like, yeah, which is fine. If
it's
you don't
totally fine.
It, yeah, if you don't.
No, exactly,
stay
exactly.
So let me ask you, Lou, what's new in Topperson before you leave the show? What's going on, anything new? Any new products? Any new events?
We have a number of things that we're entertaining. One of them is a reality TV show by a diabetic advocate who is going to change the complexion of the world. Although it's not based on The Biggest Loser. Because you probably know this cold.
Yeah.
I mean, in The Biggest Loser, there was just a weight loss competition, and a lot of those people went back to the same kind of health problems they had before they started a show. This is really an advocacy show that's going to be on Discovery Life, and it's not just for people who are diabetic, but it is also for people who really want to see how they're going to maintain their health. So our Topperson Foot Therapy product, of course, is astoundingly good for diabetic neuropathy, but then the whole range of, and we have a bunch of different format pieces that have been brought to us. A lot of people knocking on our door now, knowing that we have a pretty good handle on how to get things done and be the great educational resource to really driving point the whole point of getting something where people could tune in. They know exactly where they're going to find a real benefit. They're going to have rich resources to make that happen and then go on to live a better life.
Are you going to be on the show? Or are you going to be like advisory board? What are you going to be doing?
Yeah, we're going to be advisory, and we're going to do some interviews and stuff on the show. It'll be going on in sometime July, I think, July, early August, I think, is when they're going to start. And it'll run first 13 weeks, and then they'll take it from there. But Discovery Life's pretty excited about the show because it's a genuine one.
Very nice.
This is a real show about real people as opposed to some competition.
That concept. Yeah. Nobody's going to be humiliated. That's a wonderful thing.
All of that,
oh,
you know.
My
so
God.
Yeah, and we, you know, of course, a lot of the stuff we're doing in cancer research and our Afterburn product is doing astoundingly good for people for women with mastectomies and post radiation treatments. It's just soothing and calming things down so beautifully. And you know, anytime you can take anything that's discomforting and or painful out of a life of a man or woman, for that matter, but out of anybody's life who's going through cancer and having surgery and everything else, it just warms us up. And it's heartbreaking too, because we also do the same with children's juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile diabetes, and of course pediatric cancers. So those are the primaries. We're doing a lot more with veterans, Paralyzed Veterans of America. And, you know, that's a big, vast program. So we're busy beavers doing our thing.
And you still have time to sleep. It's amazing. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You have an amazing reach, my friend, I tell you. God bless you.
Well, and as right back to you, my darling friend, and the friends, I know that there's so much that we can accomplish, and the only way we can do is together, and we all bring our part. And it can't be done by one person. It has to be done by a team of people. But there's a lot going on, and I'm supposed to be spending my juice doing this after Vietnam and all the rest for me in the Marine Corps. I know my life of service is something that's very personal. I'm delighted to be able to do it. And one of the things that I don't know if you know this or not, but the highlight of my day was right now. How's that?
Sweet man.
You darlings, because I know the love, you know. And unconditional love is like so powerful. And you warmed me up,
even though it was
cold this morning outside. I know. And seriously, you two are magic.
Love
and
them.
I can't thank
love
you enough them. For being such darlings.
Oh, and thank you so much for taking. Because you know what? The one thing that's wonderful about Lou, anybody who knows what goes on behind the scenes in that office, he doesn't have as much time to spare as he gives us, and he gives us close to a full hour. And thank you for your generosity, as always. It's wonderful.
And right back to
both.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much. Right back to both of you. We love you guys, and for all the things you do and everything you are. And if you ever need, if anybody's ever breaking your chops, I'm sure with both of you, you're going to allow that to happen. But if you ever need, you know, to say hey to a crazy man, and you know you're always going to get the best reception, it isn't because I can turn on the charm or whatever. It's just I'm wired the way I am because of my grandmother and my grandfather and my parents and because of you guys. So it's all mutual. So what you do for me, I do for you. I'm glad that it's always positive and amazing. And there's some stuff coming up, too, that I will be able to share with you that we may be able to do some more projects together, which I would love.
I would always love that. And people always say, when is Lou going to be on the show? And it's like, well, you know, he's a busy man. But anytime, anything that you could think of that we could create, we're there. So never question that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a careful out there.
Beautiful day. You too. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank
you, darling.
Bye-bye. See you, honey. Bye.
New paradise. Luigi. And we could call him Knuckles Paradise too, because I bet he packs the punch if he gets mad.
I'm sure.
Knuckles.
No, he's army trained.
Yeah. No, and you know the thing is, it's funny again, you know, because he is such a fountain of information,
mm-hmm.
and he could just the way he does.
He knows what he's talking about.
He knows exactly what he's talking about, and he cannot ever do a segment in just 50 minutes because there's so much. And the thing is, we love when he stays on as long as he does, but I always know he's in that office, and there are probably, I know he's looking at his phone,
and
his phone is probably, the dials are lit up, and he's got things to do, but he always is very generous in his sharing with us, and always, you know, a big supporter of, you know, we didn't even get a chance, I wanted to know if, what was happening up there as far as the marches and everything, and last week's. And you know what's funny? Last week, honey, this is where we went wrong last week because we got some misinformation. When we were having our people out to call in,
mm-hmm.
remember that? The actual march and protest started in New York at 4.
Oh, so they couldn't even call in if we wanted to.
That's exactly right.
That's why nobody called.
That's
or if they did, we weren't there.
You know, I actually thought of that. They got, you know, they got a deadline. No, they didn't get a deadline, but, you know, we don't
have
an answer.
Next time we know to time it.
Well, you know what?
Same exact time.
Next time, and this is what I told you, the next time we're going to be there. We could have our field correspondents in there, but we're going to do the show a little closer in proximity.
Okay.
So
we
could
see
people,
exactly all the action in front of us.
We could have people going in the field and coming back to us
and telling us what's happening.
And we'll make that show like a special two-hour show.
Sounds like a plan.
We could do that.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think there's going to be, I'm trying to think, there is a calendar of events, of things that will be going on. But, you know, as things change.
Yeah, there's going to be more different ones.
There's more, but there's also, there's going to be quite a few marches, gay rights. I think there's going to be a whole big thing now, obviously, that, you know, same-sex marriages are something that's going to be, you know, something that's more or less.
I don't think that's going to be taken away. That's
I don't
opinion.
Think it's going to be taken away, but I'm
no,
sure.
No, I don't think that's, like, on his list at all.
Well,
I really don't think so.
I know
so.
It's on somebody else's list. And
yeah, but he's not the president.
And we don't know how long.
You know what? We've come too far for them to take that away.
That's what we said about abortion rights.
Yeah, that's not going to happen either.
You know what?
He just doesn't want anybody to spend money somewhere else.
It might not happen immediately.
Right.
But the fact that we're even threatened by these things at this point in
I think
in
he just
walk,
likes to talk a lot.
Well,
I have to tell you the truth.
I'm hoping. Look, you know, it's fine for me. I'll turn off the TV, but I don't know if it's necessary.
Right. Nothing has happened yet.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? No bill has passed. Nothing has happened. It's just a lot of talk.
And there's
and
a lot
I think
of,
a lot of media that puts it out in our faces
well,
for no reason.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of deflection going on. If you notice that when one thing comes a little close to being investigated, there's a deflection of something else so that we forget about this. And
what do you think
that.
About this whole thing that Obama is in his microwave with his...
you
is
know,
that a nut?
You know, it is a nut.
It's
you
a
know,
nut.
The truth is...
But I think,
when,
like you just said, he could be deflecting something that
deflecting,
he doesn't want us to know
he's
about.
He's deflecting everything. And let's be serious. If, what was his name, Clapper, who is in charge of the FBI. If he went on and said, there is no way this is possible, it didn't happen, what more do we need?
Yeah, and who he fired, the what was it, the FBI?
Yeah, the guy that investigated. I can't remember his name,
but he kept him on in the beginning.
And he
opened up a lot of scandals. I think he wanted to get rid of him before he just investigates what's going on there.
Look, and you know, here's
what's his name?
The thing. I'm going to think of it when the show ends. But this is how it happens. And this is, look, politics are always subjective because their camp is going to look at it very differently and say, oh, but you don't understand. And that's the way it is. But there are certain things that are undeniable that I know people that have voted for him, not too many, that are suddenly quiet and not saying too much about it because, it's like, you know, you're kind of
like
skulking away a little bit.
Looking like a fool.
So, but, yeah. But Lou being on board with us about those things. But I did want to ask him
if there was marches and stuff up there.
I'm sure
there protests.
Well, you know, you know the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
Especially the area of Woodstock and Saugerties and Rhinebeck, which is where Topperson is. Very largely Democratic. You know,
I would think so.
Yeah, so,
I would think
you know,
so.
For the most part. But, I think there probably was a lot of good things happening, not in the volume that we had down here. But, and it's like, it's good that Lou's up there and, you know, the reality show, that's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
The Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because he was saying July, because that's usually when things, remember when we had
the stock thing going on, coming up.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you clear everything. What was that thing that we were involved? Wait. Now I'm trying to think. That guy who was a designer, this was, my God,
years ago.
Ah, Dress for the Office Runway.
Right.
That's what we were
involved
in.
What did he want us for, though, again?
The fitness consultants.
Oh,
because they were having everybody...
I couldn't remember what he wanted.
He was designing, and then he had other people bring... It was almost like, not quite, getting women that were out of work or just...
Right.
But it was just people that wanted to be promoted or just wanted to, you know, excel in their career, and their wardrobe was not something that was going to be a vehicle for that. And we were going to be the
fitness
consultant.
It was almost like that show we used to watch.
And who?
What Not to Wear.
I'm trying to think. What show did they take? It was Bravo. What was that show? Oh my God, that this got bumped for.
That gay man. That
right.
Had that.
What was his name again? It was an odd name.
I don't remember. But he's actually part of. He's part of the Fashion Police now.
He looked like Elvis Costello.
Yes. I think he had an episode or two. It didn't even last.
It lasted three episodes.
Yeah, I don't think it lasted.
Oh, my God. He was...
Me with names, forget it.
His claim to fame was he was Tyra Banks or Naomi... One of Naomi Campbell's assistants dressed... That was a claim to fame. He was like their dress... He's not a designer, per se. He was handled their wardrobe.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I could see his face. He had a very odd... Odd kind of name.
I think they were his assistants, no? Their assistants?
I know, but I could see his face in front of me, but
yeah, me too. But I don't remember his name.
But you know, I think we have Europe on the line.
Yeah.
I think we have Ireland on the
line.
We have Jake McManus. I think
Let
he's
me
on deck.
Bring
him on. Jake.
Hello.
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 How are you?
Thank you for
I'm
joining
great.
Us. At let me impress a lead here. 6:05 your time, yeah?
Yeah, that's it.
How are you, Jake?
I'm well, thanks.
Thank you for joining us. Wow.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, guys. Yeah, it's great. It's great to have this easy conversation across the water.
Definitely.
Isn't technology amazing?
Yeah.
You know, he was even saying, well, I could do it with Skype, I could do it. This is a no, good old landline.
Yeah,
it's fine with
that's
us.
That's it.
This
even better.
So let me ask you first, any big St. Patrick's Day plans?
Well, a lot of people ask, you know, what do the Irish actually do on Paddy's Day? And I guess everyone who can get time off work will go and see the parade. Most towns and villages in Ireland would have some sort of parade. Even then, to the smallest of villages, you'd have, you know, schools coming out with pageants and there'd be some band playing. So last year, actually, I play as well. A lot of people just are asked to get involved. So, you know, if you have any sort of skill, whether it be dancing or singing or just walking, waving a flag, you'd be asked to get involved. So last year I was down in Bray. It's a village down just between Dublin and Wicklow on the East Coast. And that was great. That was good fun. So it's just it's definitely a family day for half of the day. The biggest parade would probably be in Dublin, and that's about 2.5 hours it takes for the parade at the start to wind its way all through the streets of Dublin.
Wow.
Yeah. So how long is the one in New York? Is that
It starts around, well, the drinking starts at like 8 in the morning.
No.
The parade starts at like 11 o'clock, and I think it stops around 4. It's
probably, really?
It's the longest parade in New York City parade history, sure.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It is.
It's amazing that the Irish managed to get everyone to stop and celebrate their national day. I don't know, is there any other parades that kind of get half.
No,
of, half of
honestly, there's no other parade that has that volume. Even the Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but you know, I still think it's certainly not as long as the St. Patrick's Day parade. And
so you guys have been in preparation for it for a few weeks, have you? Or
Well, New York actually starts putting up the police barricades and everything. Friday is going to be the fact that
it's going to be a big thing.
It's going to be big. But you know, the funny thing is, I'm part Irish. My grandfather was from Northern Belfast, and I remember as a kid, although my mother was Italian, she said if you're going to stay home for St. Paddy's Day, it's a religious holiday, so you have to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what my brother and I had to do. We had to go to Mass that day, and then we could stay home from school.
But do you go to church, Jake?
I don't actually know. I stopped going to church when my parents couldn't be bothered trying to corral all those kids and bring us down to the church. I think they managed, and fair play, they managed to keep it going up until we were about 12. Oh. And then they let us decide. And apart from sitting on hard, you know, benches and kneeling down and feeling the pain. And I really enjoyed, we used to get 10 pence as pocket money after church. And we could spend that as we liked in the sweet shop. So for me, that was a great bonus in going to church. But I haven't really gone to church now since I've been 12. But recently, actually, Lent started there 15 days ago, and I decided to give up caffeine. And I thought, so I was
getting
feeling
a lot of
the
headaches.
Effects. Yeah, well, actually, I'm sure a lot of your listeners, you know, coffee is a great stimulant. Mm-hmm. But if you have too much of it, it goes the other way, and it kind of brings you down, and you kind of lose. You have this drop of energy. And so I decided to give up caffeine, and I decided to use Lent. I find that a lot of Irish are kind of, I don't know if you'd say spiritual or quasi-spiritual, but we have a sort of a long pagan past where, you know, the kind of elements, earth, air, fire and water and spirituality is all kind of, it's quite deeply instilled in us. And when St. Patrick arrived, you know, bringing the new religion back in 400 AD, he saw that it was just too powerful. The Irish just had too much of a connection to Mother Nature, you know, and to their world around them. So what he did is he basically used their pagan festivals, and he put a sort of a Christian slant on it. So I would say that a lot of Irish certainly have that kind of connection. And if I needed a little bit of support giving something up or something like that, I would certainly use the Christian, you know, some sort of Christian event to help
support
me along the way.
That's right. So. Push it along. Push it over the lines. That's exactly
right. Yeah.
Well,
we're 15 days into it, so another 25 days to go.
And so, you'll go back?
Say again?
You'll go back to drinking caffeine?
I'd say so, yeah. I actually got decaf coffee. I thought I'd be off coffee altogether. But it's caffeine, that's the addiction. So I'm on decaf at the moment.
Okay. It's better than nothing.
Yeah. Well, I always say decaf is the antichrist.
I don't see a difference.
Well,
I really don't.
I'm talking to
diehards
here.
I used to drink up to 8 cups of coffee a day. Now I'm down to 1-2 tops. But when I have my coffee, it's black.
Right.
Now I drink. I like the taste of coffee, so it's black all the way.
Black all the way. And is it the first thing in the morning, or is it somewhere, you know, strategically placed along the day that you'd have
it's usually first thing in the morning.
It's the first thing in the morning for me. But if I have to, if I'm doing, if I know I'm going to be up late working or something, then maybe I'll have like a half a cup at night, and then I put the rest in the refrigerator, and I have it like iced coffee the next day. I mean, I never waste coffee. It's like, just don't do that.
Yeah. I actually, I think the French, the Spanish, they kind of do that. They have a percolator,
yeah,
and it sits there all day, and then at night they certainly put it away, all right.
That's why it's called the French press.
French, look at you, elite, showing off.
Yeah,
you.
That's good. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Us Irish were kind of born on tea. I think we actually are, per head of population, the Irish drink more tea than anyone else in the world.
The English.
Yeah, that's.
Like the English, but a lot more than the English. I don't know, but we took the tea like ducks to water. So coffee is only a relatively new experience for the Irish. We used to have the granulated coffee when I was growing up in the 80s, which was, you know, kind of Nescafe.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's really only in the last, 20 years, 95, when I guess the economy was taken, the Irish economy was really booming, it was taking off anyway, that people started introducing Americanos and those kind of quality coffees from the continent. So we're relatively new to the coffee game.
Well, it's funny because my assistant is from London, and she always makes me black tea. And it's definitely more robust, but she goes, you want black tea, right? And
it taste like coffee?
No, it tastes like... It actually tastes like two Lipton's tea bags. It's more robust.
Just more stronger.
It's stronger, that's it.
Yeah.
But let's get
to
your DVDs, a series of DVDs, which Ali and I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show.
Where did you get the idea first?
Well, I grew up in Dublin, and you know, obviously Ireland is surrounded by the sea, but I got a lot of my kind of skills, young kind of learning skills, social skills and all that from Scouts. I was in Sea Scouts. My parents, in their wisdom, brought me down to Sea Scouts. And during the summer, I'd be out on the boats sailing or rowing or canoeing around the Irish Sea in Dublin Bay here. And then in the winter, when the boats were, you know, up in dry dock, we'd take to the mountains and we go camping. And the Sunday hike was fabulous. It was a really enjoyable experience for me. All my buddies were, you know, with us. We're in these patrols. I'm actually looking at the Dublin Mountains from where I'm sitting now.
Oh, wow.
It's very easy in Ireland to get out of a city. I mean, the cities aren't big. A friend of mine lives in New York, and when he comes back, he says it's like a big village to him now. Previously, obviously, it was his home city, and he could see it as such. But now, obviously, being over in America, New York, for the last 5 years, his scope has widened considerably. So what he thinks as a city, you know, for Dublin anyway, he'd now consider that to be a small village. So the benefits of that, as well as being very social, it's really nice walking around Dublin. You meet all your friends, and it's great night out. But it's really easy to get out of the cities. Galway, Dublin, Cork, Belfast would be the kind of bigger cities in Ireland. And you're really 20 minutes and you're out into the countryside, even less, 5 or 10 sometimes in Galway. So for the Irish, it's very easy to get into the countryside. And the countryside is country lanes, farms, hedges, rolling green fields, as Ireland's well known for, with sheep and cattle.
As we saw in the DVD,
yeah,
there was a lot of fields and beautiful waterfalls and
the big tower
of Glendalough. Glendalough?
Yeah, Glendalough. It's actually the Irish word for the glen of the two valleys. And so there's an upper and a lower lake there. And what happened was, obviously, St. Patrick came over in 450 AD. And, you know, he did his missionary work here. And the Irish really took to it. It was actually a sort of a bloodless revolution. The Irish changed from their pagan roots to Christianity without any martyrs. No one was killed. There was no major wars. So I think I don't know if it's unique in history where, you know, that kind of changing of a sort of a mental construct or whatever you want to call it, a paradigm shift in the whole kind of culture happens without anyone, you know, getting too upset about it. But what happened there was that some Irish people really took to Christianity, and they especially took to the kind of the idea of the Desert Fathers, which had come from the martyrs out in Jerusalem. So basically, St. Patrick brought the Gospels with him. The Irish disseminated that between themselves, and various, you know, people that were going to become saints decided to. They couldn't. There was no desert in Ireland, so what they did is they just bring themselves to these kind of austere, aloof, you know, very kind of wild and lonely places where they could just devote themselves to their time with God. And these became the saints of Ireland. And I mean, on the last call, I think there might be 200 of them. And it was only around maybe, I think it was around 1200 or 1300s, where the Roman Catholic Church decided to pare back on the Irish saints because we just had too many of them. But one of the saints was St. Kevin, and he went to Glendalough in about 500, 550 AD, so about 100 years after St. Patrick. And he went there alone, and he went to the upper lake on the east side where it's dark, and there is a small cave which could have been there from the prehistoric time, the kind of Neolithic time, the Stone Age people of about 4,000 or 5,000 BC. But he used that as his place to sleep, and he just stayed there basically for a few years in silent communication with God. So Glendalough is a place that's it's absolutely gorgeous. It's a valley, steep sided on both sides, with native oak forests and two lakes. But because of the work that St. Kevin was doing there, word got out about this holy man, and monks and mendicants went there to basically form a sort of a monastic village. So from around 900 to 9th to 10th century AD, this monastic village was built, which was a great seat of learning. And a lot of people from Ireland and also from the continent came to Glendalough. Princes, like kings and queens, would send their sons and daughters to Glendalough to learn from these monks, you know, learn the gospel, learn Latin, maybe learn calligraphy.
Yeah, and you learn all this in the DVD too, because I think his name is Michael Rogers. He takes
the
tour.
Michael's great. Yeah, he's a Catholic priest, and he spent his time abroad as a missionary himself in Africa. But he's back now, and he's been in Glendalough for the last 20 years. And he runs a sort of a small spiritual center there called Termon. And he gives guided walks in Glendalough, mm-hmm. and he distills this lovely kind of wisdom from his own experiences, and also from just Glendalough itself and the history that's going back for the last 1,500 years. So he gives these wonderful little sort of sermons, little talks, and I just thought he'd be a great guide for this DVD. So the idea would be that I'm lucky enough to walk these hills myself, and one day I was walking and I just said, God, like, I'd like to bring people on this walk, but how what's the best way of doing it? And I decided that if I filmed when I walked, I would make this kind of interactive, immersive, you know, almost realistic view of, you know, a walker's perspective through beautiful areas in Ireland.
Exactly what it's like, definitely. And you hear the crunching of the sound of the feet.
I know,
It's perfect until you see Michael and he starts telling you about the, you know,
it's wonderful.
The Green Road and the Polanis Waterfall and Spink.
That's it. Yeah, because as well, I guess Ireland's got, you know, the best of both worlds. One is that it's scenically very beautiful. You know,
beautiful.
We have a temperate climate.
That's what we said.
So there's a lot of rain.
We were just like in awe.
Yeah, because there's a lot of rain, I guess there's also, you know, the grass really grows and the foliage is really exuberant and there's a lot of water, lakes and waterfalls and rivers. Mm-hmm. So Ireland has like this gorgeous kind of surrounding to film. So as a videographer, I find my job is practically done for me. I just have to turn the camera on and point it in a particular direction.
Nothing, it's beauty really, all around you.
And the other thing that Ireland has is history. Its history goes back, you know, 4,500 years. And you really stumble across that all the time in Ireland. You don't really need a, you know, geologist or an archaeologist. It's you don't need to dig anything up. It's literally right there in front of you. So in the Glendalough DVD, I would bring you, or the walk goes through the monastic village, which has been there since, you know, well, the last 1,000 years. And the big round tower that you saw there, that was a tower that the monks used to ring the bell to call everyone to church. And then there's the cathedral and St. Kevin's Church, and there's a double arched entranceway into the monastic city. So there's all these lovely kind of antiquities. They're kind of like, you know, monuments to the past. And it really needs guides. It really needs people. Ireland really comes alive with the stories that's
yes,
told.
And that's what he does. He educates you with all the stories.
Yeah. So that's the Glendalough DVD. And then I just try and pack it full, and I give people a chance to, although I'm sure, you know, a lot of your listeners would love to come over to Ireland, and, you know, year on year, there's more and more people coming to Ireland to explore the wonderful countryside. I thought these DVDs would be a way of bringing Ireland to them. You know, if you've got a nice widescreen TV,
put that on,
you're there. So.
And you know, it's interesting because when Elite and I were looking this over, because we look over a lot of health and wellness and fitness DVDs, and we were kind of expecting it to be that, but then we was like even saying, this is certainly a little bit more than that. You'd be like selling yourself short if you just say it's just like a health, or just something to put in the treadmill or in front as you're watching, you know, watching it as you're biking. This is more educational.
It's like a historic.
This is what I'm saying.
You know, learning experience of all different places in Ireland. It's beautiful.
It's far more educational, I think, than anything else. It's wonderful.
Great. I'm glad you like it. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, it's just there's such a rich heritage. You just really, I mean, it'd be wrong to leave it out. So I just try and include it in. And the one thing I do like about a structure of a DVD is it's interactive. These little icons come up on the screen for the eye for information or an arrow to decide to go left or to go right. So if you wish, you can select on the icon and you'll get your guide and he'll tell you the history in about 2 minutes. But
it's great.
A few times, you know, you don't necessarily need to listen to it every time you play the DVD. So mostly the DVD is for maybe relaxing or maybe using on a treadmill or, you know, whatever. So it's really highlighting a sort of, I'd like to try and, you know, I guess it is a virtual exploration of Ireland. And it's trying to slow people down maybe a little bit. I know there's running DVDs out there and a lot of people would be on a treadmill to lose weight or to, you know, work on their cardio. But I'm a walker. I'm not a runner, and I've been walking these hills for 20 odd years, and I think walking is an underrated experience for general health. I think it's wonderful, and we're spoiled.
But if you could walk these hills,
cardio workout.
Yeah,
you'd be very lucky.
I know I am very lucky. I am very lucky. And so look, I mean, I'm trying to say, guys, this is it. I'm having a great experience. Can I share it with you? Is there what's the best way I can share this with you?
I was even thinking, I could imagine this doing very well in meditation classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just trying to think about it.
Very calm and serene, especially the backgrounds.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be
surroundings. The surrounding.
Yeah, well, some Gregorian chanting in the background.
Yeah,
I mean, this is wonderful.
Really nice.
How many in a series? I mean, this is, you sent us the one. How
I know
many
there's a couple because we looked at them online.
There's about 3 or 4?
Yeah. Yeah, there's 5 at the moment. And, it's been great. I mean, there's really no end to making these. There's 32 counties in Ireland, so they're like stables. And they're... they've got their own names, County Fermanagh, County Dublin, Wicklow, Clare, Sligo. So there's 32 of them in the island of Ireland. And I would like to do at least one per county. And I know that the Irish have a big expatriate, you know, community, you know, so many emigrated over the last 400 years, 500 years. That Irish communities have built up all around the world, and a lot of people, I think it was yourself, Laurie, mentioned your great grandfather was from north of Belfast.
Yeah.
Your grandfather. So you know, that's County, I think it might County Down or County Antrim.
Yeah.
But it might be nice for someone who's got some sort of family relations or connection
mm-hmm.
to
yeah, sure.
to get a DVD from the area that their family originated from, and you know, hear from a local guide about the histories that are there, and you know, just be a part of the community. It's just another way to be a part of the community, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, so there's five at the moment. The last one I did was in Irish. It was Oscuelga, which is the native language of Ireland is Irish, and there's various areas in Ireland called Gaeltachts, which is the Irish for house of the Gael, house of Ireland, and that's where Irish is the first tongue. It's the mother tongue. So people would speak conversationally in Irish, you know, in their day to day activities. So the Aran Islands are a set of three islands off County Galway on the west coast, and there's three islands there. And actually, there's been one or two films made there, but you'd probably know the Aran Sweater. Have you heard of the Aran Sweater?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, great. So the Aran Sweater is an iconic jumper from Ireland. It's generally white, you know, it's coarse kind of spun sheep's wool. But the interesting thing about the design and the motifs on it are these kind of rope-like designs going down the Aran jumper. And that's basically an identification mark, traditionally anyway, is an identification mark of the person who wore it. So it would be like carrying your name on your jumper.
That's cool.
Using
that
these motifs.
Very cool.
Yeah, it is interesting. And so basically, I wanted to get out to the Aran Islands because they have a big sway in Irish history and in Irish culture. There's been a lot written about the Aran Islanders and the way they live and dress. And I really wanted to get out there. But when I got out there, I wanted to do justice to what, you know, they've been keeping the Irish traditions alive and the Irish dress and the Irish language. So I wanted to make sure to do it all through Irish. And most people learn a bit of Irish when they're growing up, but they leave it, you know, once they left school. I was lucky enough to have, you know, some sort of schooling in Irish. So it was difficult for me as an Irishman to speak in Irish, but I managed to make my way through, and we got the three islands filmed. And yeah, so that's there. All the DVDs are actually subtitled, so even if it's in English, I can appreciate that some listeners might find the Irish accent, even though they're speaking in English, the accent might be a bit heavy.
Yeah.
So I've made sure to subtitle all of the DVDs, and that applies to the one in the Aran Islands. So there's five now in the series.
Beautiful.
Very good.
Wonderful. Now, we want to post all your stuff on our Facebook page tomorrow, so make sure later that you give me everything, and, you know, where people, the website, everything, you know, people will probably want to purchase these. So before you leave the show, is there anything else you want to shout out?
Well, guys, I just wanted to say thanks for having me on the show.
Of course.
You know, I really appreciate what you guys are doing, and I think it's a great idea, the bridal body shop. I think it's a wonderful idea. I'm happily married for 4 years, but I appreciate the day itself. You know, it's all about the woman, you know, so I think you guys are doing a great work there. And to everyone, I wanted to wish them a Law Thela Padraic, which is the Irish for Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And to you, my dear.
That's
absolutely.
Nice.
And you'll join us again. And thank you so much for making the cyber commute with us. And enjoy your dinner if you haven't had it yet. And Jake McManus.
Thank you again.
Anybody who's listening, all his information will be on our page tomorrow. Thank you, Jake. And stay well. And we'll talk to you
great.
Soon.
Take care.
Marcus. Thanks, Laurie. Bye-bye. Thanks, Elise.
Thank you, darling.
Bye. Bye-bye.
And these papers,
so cool.
These DVDs are really, really, really great. I see.
Yeah,
like
very
said,
educational.
And you know what's really funny?
But I love the way it's called Trek Island.
I didn't want to take
the
up
truth.
Yeah, I didn't want to take up too much of his time with my grandfather. I mean, I've never met him, but you know, language. He spoke Latin fluently. He spoke five different languages.
Wow.
And that's well. He was head of language department St. Francis Prep. But
that's right.
Yeah, he spoke Latin. And, you know, that's why when he was saying that, it's, you know, Latin is just pretty, you know,
yeah.
dominant in the Irish community, you know. But this, I tell you, these we'll definitely have him on again.
Yeah.
And he's a wealth of knowledge. I mean, this is obviously a labor of love.
It's perfect for St. Patrick's Week.
Yeah, that's why
couldn't have been
for
more perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, when he said it, my mother learned from her father-in-law how to say Happy St. Patrick's Day. Until he said it, I forgot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
So. And she said it with a little bit of a roll. You know, she spoke Italian. But she understood a romance language. But we'd like to thank both our guests today. This was a nice long show. A very, very cool show.
Yeah.
Right? Very cool show. We'd like to thank everybody listening at home once again for joining us and making the show possible. My lovely co-host, Elite Ziegelman, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, and our two guests, Lou Paradise and Jake McManus, thank you. Both of you.
Make it possible for us today.
Lou's trip was shorter than Jake's, but, you know, what can you do?
But he's got a lot more snow, so.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we just hope that you go out, do something productive, make it a fabulous day, take care of yourself, take care of the planet, take care of each other, and we will see you next week. Take us home with Nina. Take us home with
Nina.